Jonathan Smucker, partner and portfolio manager at Marietta Investment Partners, is here, and we're talking domestic and international equities today in the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they see happening right now, and how that meshes with their own methodology. When you understand how they're picking stocks and selecting investments, then you mix it with what they see, you get a good picture of the market, and you also understand a little bit more about how investing itself works. And then, once we know what they're thinking and what they're doing, we put them to your test with a little bit of hold it or fold it. Now, I know that one of the things many of my audience members tell me about is that they like hearing from new and different money managers. Well, that's what you're getting today. Jonathan Smucker is partner and portfolio manager at Marietta Investment Partners. If you want to learn more, MariettaLLC.com. Jonathan Smucker, good to have you on Money Life.
John, thanks for having me on, and congratulations on the podcast 8-year anniversary you just celebrated.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And of course, one of the things that we proved on that day, but that we're proving again, is it's not the same thing over and over again. People want to say, oh, it's the market, it's always the same thing. Well, we certainly know with the market times we're living through, it's not the same thing. But for us, it's also, we love getting great guests and having them back on the show and letting people hear from them. But we like getting new guests like you. And we always start the market call with methodology, because until somebody knows what you do and how you do it, a buy, sell, or hold recommendation is totally meaningless. So you've got a specific methodology. We need to know how it works.
We do. And a little housekeeping before I dive into the methodology. Just wanted to let all the listeners know that Marietta is an independent registered investment advisor, and we believe in the importance of customized portfolios tailored specifically to clients' unique circumstances. So any investment should be evaluated in light of an investor's specific goals. The views I share with you today are my personal opinions only. They shouldn't be taken as specific investment advice or trade recommendations. Now, Marietta is a traditional manager in that we are long only, and we focus on picking individual stocks and bonds rather than using other investment products. We choose to invest this way because it is a tried and true way to reap the benefits of compounding interest. It allows for customization on a very personal level, and it also avoids potential pitfalls or added costs and risks that might come with using more complex investment products. Marietta has a highly refined and disciplined process that combines a top-down macro approach with bottom-up fundamental analysis. So we'll start with the top-down. Our top-down process begins with the writing and publishing of our economic and financial market outlook. This is a published statement written by the investment team each quarter, and we put it out there for the world to see. You can check it out at MariettaLLC.com. The outlook discusses the state of the global economy and it forecasts growth, inflation, and other financial trends of both developed and emerging countries. The conclusions we draw from this are going to influence our geographic, thematic, industry, and sector weightings. Now, our top-down process goes a little bit further than just forecasting. Our investment team identifies long-term trends that we think offer significant investment opportunities. These are often related to technological advancements, demographics, or social paradigms. One example is the multi-year growth of the middle class in emerging countries. Another example, particularly apparent right now, is the surge in popularity of working from home capabilities. That was a trend that was actually going on long before this whole quarantine situation happened. We think it'll continue in the future. So that's the top down. Then the bottom up analysis, we focus on quality. We want to purchase the stocks of well-established companies in industry-leading positions with strong balance sheets, talented management, and a compelling business model and strategy. We are also looking at a host of variables that we consider to be important. That includes various measures of growth, value, sentiment, and momentum. We then combine the top-down and the bottom-up to construct a portfolio with geographic and sector weightings that reflect our outlook. We are going to make sure that we have exposure to certain industries benefiting from long-term trends. Ultimately, we then select individual companies that meet our standard of high quality.
Right now, both ends are being attacked. Both the top and the bottom are being attacked. It's hard to look at top down and see a lot that you can understand and like. It's easy to see a lot that you can hate, though, isn't it? I mean, if you're looking at the top down, you can just start ticking off sectors that, like, yeah, no way, this, I'm not buying this, I'm not buying that, right? So the top-down analysis is pushing you to look at what areas, and then we'll get into maybe what specifics.
Absolutely. I mean, the macro outlook right now is the most difficult to discern, besides from the obvious statement that we are in a recession. I mean, I think that these were the worst 4 weeks of the U.S. economy in history. There are so many uncertainties out there, and it seems like every week there's a new unprecedented development or the first time since World War II data point. We've seen negative oil. We've seen record low U.S. Treasury yields, record high unemployment claims. These are not developments that happen in a healthy and highly functioning financial market. That's certainly the negative side. On the other hand, top down, we've just seen the largest stimulus in history. It's been unleashed both on the monetary and fiscal side. And it does look like we've avoided the worst case scenario with the virus spread. And it looks like the rate could be yielding, although I think in the U.S. today, we did see the highest level of new cases in the last 5 days. So not all good news there, but in general, we've definitely avoided the worst case scenario. So I could see the macroeconomic environment rapidly improving, just, you know, get this V-shaped recovery. And I could also see it rapidly deteriorating into a longer depression. So with this huge range of potential outcomes, the top-down process we have that's most important right now is identifying those long-term trends. Each purchase we've made since the virus outbreak has been backed by a long-term trend that we see continuing, no matter if COVID-19 is here to stay or if it goes away quickly. So like I mentioned before, a long-term trend we wanted to take advantage of even before the virus was a rise in popularity of working from home.
So the things where my audience or investors in general go, ah, right now after this, you got to buy the stocks that might be a little bit overblown. They're the ones that help you have a meeting at home, help you do this from home, help you do that, or we can continue this right now. Or the ones that are working in healthcare and trying to develop vaccines, et cetera, those are going to be the areas that you think have enough business activity, et cetera, from the top down to be worth investing in. And then, of course, the ones that are bloodiest are the ones where you're going to go, yeah, we'll wait until the blood has been drained. So what does that put you in specifically? I mean, are you going after the hot names, or when you wind up getting into it from the bottom up, you go, yeah, I can't look at that super hot tech stock that everybody's now using on their home computer because it just doesn't work for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of stocks shooting higher right now from more speculative investors trying to capitalize quickly on the sudden shift to everyone from working home, for instance. Zoom is probably the poster child for this. There's a long-term theme that made us interested in looking at Zoom, and barely anyone had heard of it or used it in January, and now it seems like all of us have been on Zoom calls. And honestly, it's a pretty nice product. However, looking at it from the bottom up, most people haven't paid Zoom at all. They're using the freemium model, and I don't really understand how their business model is going to be as successful once things open back up. Personally, I'm not going to be paying for the service. I think there are other alternative video chat options that are free. So in the meantime, Zoom stock price has gone up so much that there's significant long-term success and growth being priced into it right now. Now, they do have a really nice product, but in a recession, when defaults and bankruptcies are likely to occur down the road, I want to make sure I'm investing in companies that have the strongest balance sheets, large cash positions, and poised to potentially take market share.
So for example, who's the poster child for that methodology?
So for that, I mean, rather than chasing, yeah, the more speculative stocks, we like the giants. It's not the most creative suggestion here, but we like Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and Apple. You know, these were all winning before the outbreak. They're currently winning during the social isolation period, and they're really well positioned to win after all of this is over. We're more dependent on and intimate with our phones than ever before. YouTube continues to have more eyeballs on it than anything else in the world. Investments in remote work infrastructure is going to continue. Amazon delivery is really critical, and it's a reliable part of our daily lives. So these companies, we think, they're all primed to not just survive, but thrive, no matter if the isolation lasts 2 more weeks or 2 more years.
Quickly, let's flip it around, because one of the things you said there is, you know, this is not a time to get fancy. This is a time to kind of hunker down in your portfolio, et cetera. So how much are you trimming? How do you decide what you're getting rid of? Or maybe what's something that you've moved away from where you just kind of look and go, yeah, it made sense before we started coming home, but it doesn't make sense now. Maybe it will again in the future, but you just can't do it for now.
Yeah, you know, there's been a huge sell-off in oil And a lot of people are looking at that as an opportunity. But, you know, right now we are underweight oil companies. We see several headwinds challenging the oil industry that is keeping us on the sidelines. The longer term challenges include, surprisingly, the rise in popularity of ESG investing. This is leading to increasing divestitures from owning any equities in oil companies, the demand for the actual stocks. We're also seeing slower oil demand as renewable energy and electric cars are taking market share from more traditional oil sources. There's shorter term challenges there as well. Most oil company balance sheets are under severe pressure, and there will probably be bankruptcies in the coming months. Needless to say, with the negative oil, if you have to pay someone else to take a product off your hands, let's just say we're not, that's not something that gets us excited from an investment standpoint.
Absolutely. So let's cut it off there, because we understand that oil companies, energy stocks, and some of those things, they are not buying opportunities for you. Now we're going to find out where you think you can make some money or not on some picks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold them.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold them.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with Jonathan Smucker, partner and portfolio manager at Marietta Investment Partners. Go to MariettaLLC.com for more information on the firm, and as he pointed out, to get their take on everything that's driving the market on that top-down perspective. Hold it or fold it, you know how it works, but if you don't, we don't have time to tell you about it anyway. You'll just have to know how to participate later, or just listen to back to the beginning of the show or the end of the show when we tell you how to reach me. We're going to jump right in with a request we got via Twitter from David in Vacaville, California. Love that Twitter, at Money Life Show. And Mike in Redwood City, California. They both wanted to know about DocuSign. It certainly is in the sweet spot in terms of that big picture. Does it meet the rest of the criteria?
You know, yeah. DocuSign provides electronic signature and paperless solutions for businesses. So they're benefiting from this long-term trend that we're talking about of improving working from home capabilities and also companies going paperless. It's definitely getting a boost from the recent quarantine events, but DocuSign was actually growing rapidly long before the coronavirus was on our radar. And I think these trends are going to persist long after the shutdowns are behind us. Their earnings estimates are rising, growth is compelling and sustainable, and they look to be in great shape going forward. I like DocuSign a lot.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
That's a buy on DocuSign, D-O-C-U. Our next request comes from Bob in Holland, Ohio, and Tom in Louisville. They both want to know about Cedar Fair. That's the operator of amusement parks. It's ticker symbol FUN.
So Cedar Fair, yes, they run amusement parks and water parks. This type of business is the most impacted by the virus right now, and it's at risk for being on the wrong end of more permanent changes in consumer behavior. You know, just ask yourself, when's the next time you'll be comfortable going to a theme park? Especially when there are a lot of alternative entertainment options available that involve being around less people. So I know that I'm personally going to stay away from theme parks as well as theme park stock.
No, you'll do fun anymore.
That's right. Fun. No fun. That's a fold on Cedar Fair. Ticker symbol FUN. Richard in Chula Vista, California gets our three last requests. The first, Hilton Worldwide Holdings, HLT. If you didn't like the amusement parks, well, can you like hotels any better?
You know, the hotel industry is another one with huge questions going forward. They were already dealing with disruption from Airbnb, and now on top of it, travel shut down. Tourism and business travel will definitely come back, but we don't know to what extent and how long it will take to get back to 2019 levels of occupancy. So I'd stay away until we know more about the longer-term travel trends and how long this virus is going to stick around.
So Hilton Worldwide Holdings, HLT.
Put that one on the psycho list.
That's a fold. Richard's next request, Intuit, I-N-T-U.
So Intuit is a great long-term story. TurboTax has been taking share away from traditional tax prep services for years, and their software programs for small businesses are really popular, including QuickBooks. I'm a little bit worried, though, about their exposure to small businesses because there is a likely oncoming wave of defaults happening in the small business sector. So I'm going to stay on the sidelines until we get more clarity on when this economic recovery is going to happen, and in particular, how small businesses react.
So good company, but not good enough to buy. It's not good company, bad stock. That would be a fold. But somewhere in the middle, that's hold it if you got it, but you certainly aren't buying more on Intuit, I-N-T-U.
No money changes hands today.
Richard's last request. In the limited time we have left, Electronic Arts Incorporated, ticker EA.
So EA, so gaming has some really nice long-term trends behind it. There's increased monetization in the gaming industry, as well as growth in mobile gaming. So in addition to that, those long-term trends, the video game industry is benefiting from everyone staying at home right now. There could be potential to attract new gamers along the road, as well as people are playing more at home right now. EA also owns fantastic assets like FIFA, Star Wars, Battlefield, and Madden. So with strong long-term trends, iconic assets, solid balance sheet, but a clear path towards growth, I think EA looks great right now.
So we finish on a strong note. It's a buy on EA, Electronic Arts.
Bye, bye, bye.
And speaking of bye, 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 now we have to say bye, bye to Jonathan Smucker. But Jonathan, this was a great first time out. I look forward to chatting with you again down the line.
I'm looking forward to it. Take care.
That's Jonathan Smucker, everybody, partner and portfolio manager at Marietta Investment Partners. Learn more at MariettaLLC.com. We'll be back to wrap up today's show and let you know what's coming for the rest of the week before we send you home right after this message.